The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Money.com, Investopedia, AAA Living Magazine, and if time permits, we'll continue our readings from the book Money Hacks. Our first article from Money.com, these are the three best money moves for November 2023. Just like that, it's November. A time when end-of-the-year deadlines and personal to-dos coincide with holiday hubbub. Financial chores may not be top of mind if you're in a post-Halloween candy stupor, so we put together an agenda to put you at ease. Getting a leg up on your list now, with a little help from us, of course, will make life easier come December. This month, we're focused on some health-related business items. Open enrollment is here for people with health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, and many workers with employer coverage. We're also nearing the cutoff date to use any money left in your healthcare flexible spending account before it's gone forever. Here are the best money moves for November 2023. Number one, enroll in your employee benefits. It's officially open enrollment season, a period of 1 to 4 weeks typically when workers at many companies are able to sign up for or change their employer-sponsored benefits. If you're insured or would like to be insured through your workplace, this is the time to sign up for health, dental, and life insurance coverage, as well as any other benefits offered by your employer. Whether you're renewing your benefits or enrolling for the first time, pay close attention when you're reviewing and selecting your options. In 2023, the share of employees who were satisfied with their benefits fell to 61%, down from 64% the previous year, according to life insurance company MetLife's annual benefits trends study. That's the lowest satisfaction rate in 10 years. The youngest workers, many of whom are just starting to transition out from under their parents' health insurance to plans through employers, may want to pay extra close attention. 3 in 10 Gen Z respondents to the MetLife survey said they regretted the benefits decisions they made last open enrollment season. Almost half said they didn't understand how their benefits impact their finances. Benefits are a critical part of every employee's financial wellness toolkit, as they can help to support their financial health both now and in the future. Jamie Madden, Senior Vice President of Workforce Engagement and Benefits Connectivity at MetLife, said in a recent email. Those who plan to renew their employer-sponsored health insurance should take some time to review their current plan. Did you get the right amount of mileage out of the options you chose last year? Or did you overestimate how much coverage you would need? Maybe you visited the doctor more than anticipated or had high prescription costs. Consider your health care needs over the last year and factor in what major life events you expect in the next 12 months, like having a child or getting surgery. That way, you'll be able to estimate whether to scale back your benefits and lower your premium or upgrade your plan if you need more coverage. Regardless, Madden advises taking a proactive approach when electing benefits by putting in the work to understand your options. Your benefits are ultimately part of your compensation, and not taking advantage of them is essentially leaving cash on the table. Number two, renew or shop for your Affordable Care Act plan. It's also open enrollment for the 40 million Americans insured through the federalgovernment.com or state marketplace from November the 1st through January the 16th of 2024. If you have an Obamacare plan, there are a few changes you'll want to keep in mind when shopping for or renewing your coverage. Nearly 10 million people previously insured through Medicaid, the government health plan for low-income adults and children, have been disenrolled so far this year, according to the nonprofit Kaiser Family Foundation. Many were removed from the program because they were no longer eligible, while others were removed for administrative reasons, like an outdated address or a problem with a renewal application. If you were removed from the program but still need benefits, you can reapply for Medicaid if you think you're still eligible. But those who are not should look to an ACA marketplace plan for coverage, and thanks to rising premiums, you may be eligible for subsidies that reduce the cost, says Cynthia Cox, a vice president at KFF and director of the organization's ACA program. In fact, most ACA marketplace shoppers are eligible for financial assistance, Cox says, which will offset a sticker price premium increases for the majority of enrollees. Because so many people are coming off of Medicaid, this is probably going to be one of the busiest, if not the busiest, season yet, Cox tells Money. If you need in-person help from a marketplace navigator or insurance broker, don't wait until the last minute. Note that while open enrollment technically runs into early next year, if you need coverage starting January 1 of 2024, then you have to sign up by December 15th. Number 3, use up the rest of your FSA dollars. Workers who have a flexible spending account for health expenses, an optional employer-sponsored benefit that allows you to contribute tax-free dollars to use on qualifying purchases, generally have until the end of the year to use up the funds. In 2023, the contribution limit was $3,050 per employee. Some accounts offer a grace period of a couple of months or carry over some of the money left, but many plans have a use it or lose it by December 31st policy. If you have leftover cash on your account, now is the time to use it up on qualified medical expenses. If you're not quite sure how to spend your leftover money, check out FSAstore.com, which is stocked with products and services guaranteed to be FSA eligible. You can browse by category, brand, health condition, or price to load up on essentials with your unspent funds. Just make sure you make your purchases before the year is over. And from Investopedia, an article titled, Debt, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Know what you owe and what the risks are. Most Americans have some type of debt in their lives. However, debts vary widely with regard to the way they work, the terms involved, and the impact they have on your financial health. Some debts can be considered good, while others can be considered bad. Either way, before you can work to pay off the debts you owe, it's important to evaluate the types of debts you have and how they affect your individual financial situation. From a mortgage to credit card debt, here are the various categories of debt and how they work. Secured versus unsecured. Secured debt is debt backed by an asset, used as collateral for amounts not paid. If the loan isn't paid back, the lender has the option to seize the asset. A car loan is an example of a secured debt. A lender supplies you with the cash necessary to purchase it, but also places a lien or claim of ownership on the vehicle's title. If you fail to make payments, the lender can repossess the car and sell it to recoup some of the funds you owe. Unsecured debt, on the other hand, does not require collateral. When a lender makes a loan with no asset held as collateral, it relies on the borrower's ability to repay the loan. With unsecured debt, the borrower is bound by a contractual agreement to repay the funds. And if there is a default, the lender can go to court to reclaim any money owed. However, doing so comes at a great cost to the lender. Because it is more risky for the lender, unsecured debt generally has a higher interest rate. Some examples of unsecured debt include credit cards, signature loans, and medical bills. Revolving versus installment. Debt can also be categorized by whether it is revolving or installment. Revolving debt is debt that is open-ended, meaning you can reuse it once you pay down your balance, as with a credit card. With revolving debt, you get a maximum credit line, and then you can spend up to that limit as many times as you need. The available credit you have will fluctuate depending on how much credit you've used. With this type of debt, you must make at least the minimum payment, and the remaining balance will then transfer over to the next month with interest. Installment loans, such as a mortgage, are closed in. They work by providing a lump sum, which you then repay the lender in regular payments that are typically the same amount each month and for a set time. Specific types of debt. While secured, unsecured, revolving, and installment loans are all the terms used to categorize debt, there are various types of debt. Credit cards. Credit cards are a type of revolving debt. You can borrow up to the maximum limit on a recurring basis. With credit cards, the credit limit you are offered will depend on a number of factors, including your income and credit score. Credit cards, which are generally unsecured, but can also be secured with a deposit, tend to have a fairly high interest rate. A line of credit is a loan that is similar to a credit card, as it is a revolving debt. Mortgages. Mortgages, the most common and largest debt in the U.S., are loans made to purchase homes, with the property serving as collateral. A mortgage typically has one of the lowest interest rates of any consumer loan product, and the interest is often tax deductible if you itemize your taxes. Mortgage loans are most commonly issued at 15 or 30 years. Student loans. Student loans are loans used to pay for education expenses, such as tuition. They're issued in a lump sum payment, and then the borrower is responsible for making repayments in regular amounts, typically after the student graduates. Student loans can come from a variety of lenders, including the federal government. Unlike other types of debt, you usually cannot discharge student loans in bankruptcy. Auto loans. Auto loans are a type of installment loan secured by the vehicle you are purchasing. You can get an auto loan through a bank or through a lender connected with the dealership. Auto loans give you money in a lump sum that you pay back with interest over time, usually from 3 to 6 years. Interest rates on auto loans are generally lower than for personal loans because auto loans are backed by the vehicle, which the lender can repossess if you fail to pay. Other types of debt. Personal loans, medical debt, and lines of credit are some other types of debt for individuals. Larger companies may take on corporate debt by issuing bonds, which can be traded as securities. Good debt versus bad debt. Many people often refer to debt as, quote, good or bad. If the debt you take on helps you generate income and build long-term net worth, then that can be considered good. So can debt that improves your and your family's life in other significant ways. Unhealthy debt has a high interest rate that compounds over time. But there is debt that has historically led to building wealth. Education. In theory, the more education an individual has, the greater their earning potential. Education also has a positive correlation with the ability to find employment. An investment in a college or technical degree can often pay for itself within a few years of entering the workforce. However, not all degrees are of equal value, and with the cost of education continuing to rise, it's always worth considering both the short and long-term prospects for higher education. A business. Money that you borrow to start your own business can also be considered good debt. Like paying for education, however, starting your own business comes with risk. Many ventures fail, but if your business succeeds, then the debt would be worth it. A home. There are a variety of ways to make money in real estate. First, you can take out a mortgage to buy a home, live in it, and then sell it at a profit. In the meantime, you are also building equity and will have the potential for tax breaks that are not available to renters. Residential real estate can also be used to generate income by renting it out. Bad debt. Bad debt is generally considered money you are borrowing to purchase a depreciating asset, like a car, and it generally carries a high interest rate. Carrying too much debt can negatively affect your credit score. If you use too much of a revolving line of credit, for example, charging up to the maximum on your credit card, then your credit score will suffer. An auto loan is a strong example of bad debt. As soon as you leave the lot, the vehicle will already be worth less than the price at which you purchased it. If you need to go into debt to buy a car, look for a loan with low or no interest. You'll still be investing a large amount of money in a depreciating asset, but at least you can try to save on overall interest cost. It's important to note that not all debt can be easily classified as good or bad. It depends on your own financial situation, risk tolerance, and financial goals. And the bottom line, understanding and deciding how to tackle your debt and whether or not it is good or bad often depends on an individual's financial situation, including how much they can afford to lose. Once you have a firm grasp on the type of debt you have, it will be easier to decide on the right debt payoff strategy for you. You may also consider consulting with a professional financial advisor to review your debt situation and your options for managing it. And our next article is from AAA Living Magazine. Answers about annuities. If you're looking for a way to grow and protect your savings, you may want to consider an annuity. An annuity is an insurance product that works as an investment tool by paying out a fixed amount of money over a certain term. Deciding on the type of annuity, the investment amount, and the best time to add it to your portfolio mix can be a complex process. Luckily, we have access to Ryan Huber, Agent Development Specialist with the Life and Annuity Team for AAA. We chatted with Huber to get answers to your questions about annuities. What are the most common types of annuities? Annuities fall into two broad categories, fixed and variable. Fixed annuities provide a guaranteed return and don't correlate with the stock market. So if a company guarantees a specific return, you'll get that return or more on your money. There's no stock market risk with a fixed annuity. Variable annuities are the opposite. The interest rate fluctuates and they correlate with the stock market. Because variable annuities involve risk, there is the potential to lose money. How do annuities work? An individual contributes to the annuity either with a lump sum or through payments. The money is invested by the annuity provider and grows over time by earning interest. Why do people use annuities? To provide income. People who want to ensure they have cash flow during retirement may use an annuity to guarantee a set amount of money each month. Annuities can also pass along directly from the insurance company to the beneficiaries, avoiding the probate process. What are the minimum and maximum amounts you can contribute? AAA Life Insurance Company requires $3,000 to start a fixed annuity, but there are some providers that will start as low as $2,500. The maximum is usually $2 million. Why do people get confused about annuities? Understanding which one is right means that investors must do their homework. Working with a qualified agent can help streamline the process. Also, there's a general lack of education about what annuities are. They haven't enjoyed the same kind of PR and marketing as other investment options, like a 401k account or life insurance. On that note, what's the difference between an annuity and a life insurance policy? Typically, one buys a life insurance policy to provide a tax-free lump sum benefit for a beneficiary upon the policyholder's death. An annuity can provide income to the investor during their lifetime, typically to help with retirement. Do you need to be retirement age to purchase an annuity? No. Typically, you can access up to 10% of the amount each year without a surrender charge. Also, if you annualize the money, aka create an income stream, you won't incur any penalties. Both qualified and non-qualified annuities require you to be age 59 and a half before withdrawing funds. If you withdraw before that, the IRS imposes a 10% tax penalty on earnings. Selecting an annuity is often based on your financial situation and investment goals. If you're looking for a safe, steady growth investment, then a fixed annuity can be smart. If you have a higher risk tolerance, then a variable annuity could be the way to go. I've heard portfolio diversification is important, but how does an annuity fit into the strategy? Think of a fixed annuity as the foundation of the portfolio because it's safe and secure from market fluctuations. Once the foundation is solid, you add to it with investments that have a different risk tolerance. That's when the variable annuity might come into play. How do I know which type of annuity to choose? The options available for investment are diverse, so I recommend speaking with an annuities or financial services agent to evaluate what makes sense and to ensure your goals are aligned with your investment strategy. An agent can help you decide what makes sense by conducting a financial or needs analysis. Our next article from Money.com. College tuition prices are actually decreasing thanks to inflation. It might seem hard to believe, but college tuition prices are actually decreasing due in large part to inflation. Educational nonprofit College Board's latest report on trends in college pricing shows that an uptick in college prices for both private and public higher education is negated by the fact that inflation is so high this year. The average sticker price of tuition at a public four-year college increased by 2.5% year over year to $11,260 for in-state students, not adjusted for inflation. Prices for out-of-state students increased by 3% to $29,150, and private school tuition prices rose by 4% to $41,540. However, when adjusting for inflation, College Board says that the sticker price of tuition across both public and private schools has effectively declined since last year. That's because the Average Consumer Price Index, or the CPI, a common measurement of inflation, was 4.5% higher in the first 8 months of 2023 compared to the first 8 months of 2022. In fact, College Board data shows this is the fourth consecutive year of depreciation in tuition sticker prices since the organization's 2020-2021 report. Tuition price hikes have been continually outpaced by inflation. It's worth pointing out that was the year many colleges also began implementing tuition freezes in response to the pandemic, helping along the decrease in tuition costs by stopping price hikes. College Board researcher and report co-author Jennifer Ma noted that several public college and university systems continued the tuition freeze in 2023-24, helping to keep the growth of sticker prices mostly flat. These factors led to a surprising find, especially given that much of the 2010s was marked by sticker price increases that outpaced inflation and household incomes. When adjusted for inflation, the current figures mark a 4% decline in published tuition prices at public four-year institutions since 2012-2013. For private colleges, sticker prices declined by 5%. In the last decade. The decline is more dramatic when comparing the change in average net prices, or the amount students pay after subtracting financial aid. When 10 years ago, the net price of an in-state tuition for a first-year student peaked at an inflation-adjusted $4,230, that figure is just $2,730 in 23. Private colleges' net prices also dropped during this time from $18,820 to $15,910. Well, we're out of time again today for this episode of Money Matters. Thanks for joining us, and please be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.